Welcome to another episode of Building Prosperity with Commercial Real Estate. I'm your host, Gary Tsungu, and today we have Aaron Trevino on the show. Aaron, how you doing?
Doing well, Gary. How about yourself?
Can't complain. Glad to have you on the show. We've been going back and forth for a while for the past few months, and we haven't been able to actually hunker down and get to chatting, but it looks like you've been very, very busy on your end, closing deals. I've noticed that you've had a couple of posts about closing deals in Texas. But before we jump into that, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself and a little bit about your background?
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. It's definitely great to see and great to connect with you. I guess for those of y'all who don't know me, my name is Aaron Trevino. I live here in Austin, Texas. A bit about my background. I was born in Corpus Christi, so that's 2 hours south of San Antonio. And then if you're not familiar with San Antonio, maybe 3 hours south of Houston on the Gulf Coast. So I've been in Texas for my entire life, and it's been great. I've always had interest in real estate, and I guess here I am.
So you've been there your entire life. You definitely must have seen a lot of changes happening from the time that you were a kid to all the way up to this point. And I'm not even talking about the impact that COVID has had on the market. But out of curiosity, are you sort of kind of kicking yourself or wishing that you had kind of gotten into real estate a little bit earlier since you've been noticing the market expand and grow?
Yeah, of course. You know, I guess anyone can say that regardless of how old you are, you know, I mean, you can be in your 50s or in your 20s and you could say that, especially now with the social media culture, right? If you're a young guy and you think you're doing okay, and then you see a guy that's 18 years old and he's making $1 million a year in real estate, right? So.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wish that, you know, you should have started sooner and you should have kind of gotten mentors sooner, but you know, we could probably have an entire episode on just that alone, on that topic alone. But okay, so you've been there your entire life. What were you doing? You know, obviously you're in real estate now, we're financing development deals, development projects. What were you doing before you got into real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I'll probably just revert back to me growing up. So I grew up in Corpus Christi, lived there 18 years, I guess, really until college. And then I went to University of Texas at Austin. You know, I kind of grew up in the UT family, I guess from the day I was born, there was nowhere else to go, right? I always knew I wanted to go there. So, I was there for 4 years. I guess periodically I would come up for football games, UT football games. Always knew I wanted to go to school there over the years, and just, fast forward, I fell in love with the city. I love the city of Austin, everything that really Central Texas has to offer. It's just a wonderful place. And I guess during my time in college, I did apartment locating. So when I was 20, I got my real estate license. So I would basically help my friends and my clients, you know, find homes or find apartments to live in. So that was kind of my introduction, getting my feet wet in the industry, doing the apartment locating. And then, you know, I guess, you know, I'm also a realtor as well. And my senior year in college, I got an internship working for a construction lender. And I just, you know, fast forward, here I am.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it sounds like you were in real estate almost as early as you could kind of get into real estate, right? Because a lot of people don't know if they're going to be pursuing their passion, or they're going to be pursuing something that they were studying in high school, for example, what they were kind of learning in high school, the kind of the passion that they had developed in high school. And a lot of people, by the time they get to college, even then, they change their mind. They sort of switch gears and change their degree or change their program. So what did you study in university?
Yeah, great question. So I studied communication and business. And then I also minored in energy. So I guess that would be considered like an oil and gas program.
Okay, that's interesting. So why not oil and gas? I mean, and it makes sense in Texas you would be pursuing oil and gas, but why didn't you pursue one but you decided to stick with the other?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. I guess a bit about the program I did. It was, I guess, at least back in the 80s, UT had a program. It was called the Petroleum Landman Program. So that went away for, I guess, nearly 20 years, whatever it was. They rectified the program, and now it's called the Energy Management Program. So I completed the program in the summer of 2015. So that was, you know, when we started seeing changes in the market, right? So that was, you know, issues with Venezuela, issues with Saudi Arabia, OPEC, you know, the global market had changed. And I, you know, wanted to work in real estate instead.
Okay. Okay. It's, well, it sounds like you made the right choice, you know, kind of looking at it in hindsight. And regarding the apartment locating, what does that mean exactly? Were you helping friends find apartments near the college campus, or were you sort of helping them find apartments after they had graduated college? Was this something that you were doing with your license or before you got your license?
Sure. So this was everything that I was doing after I got my license, right? So once I was licensed, I signed on with a brokerage. You know, we had some training and I was kind of getting acclimated to, you know, the different markets in the city. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, Austin is a state capital, right? So it's not, I guess it was a little sleepy college town, but for the most part, it is the state capital, and kind of in the central area is the university. So they have what's called West Campus, which is basically just a big neighborhood where students live. And that's mostly where I would do the apartment locating.
And then, so once you got your real estate license, how long were you a realtor for?
Yeah, absolutely. So at least in college, you know, junior, senior years. So 2 years in college, and I'm still a realtor now. Okay. So I guess long story short, 2 years in college, I was overseas for a little bit, about a year and a half, eventually came home. So I guess maybe in total been a realtor for 3 years.
Okay, awesome. Were you overseas buying property or just kind of vacationing?
No. So I went overseas originally. I taught English in Vietnam. So so that was a neat experience, just kind of getting to, you know, go to Asia, go to the East, which I'd never seen before prior to a few mm-hmm. years ago. So it was a great experience. I lived in Latin America for a little bit and I found my way home.
That's awesome. Okay. So you came back, you sort of took a little sabbatical during your early years to your career, which is awesome. You know, you definitely need that break, especially after college. So then you come back, and do you continue doing real estate? Do you continue selling homes, buying homes and selling homes? Or do you sort of start thinking, hey, you know what, I might actually want to get into the financing side of things?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess as mentioned, you know, back when I was in college, I had interned for this company that I'm currently working for. So I kind of had a little bit, you know, of an idea about a bit about real estate or a bit about construction, I guess pretty surface level, but it was mm-hmm. kind of neat to be around people who were doing deals. And then I guess, you know, I was overseas and I was on LinkedIn looking for work, you know, right when I came back, you know, one of the account managers in my current company sent me a message on LinkedIn and said, hey, you know, we're hiring for this position. Are you interested? Fast forward and I'm here in this role.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about what you're currently doing. What were some of the first deals that you were coming across?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess a bit about what we do, you know, I'm a construction lender. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'll help finance new construction deals, you know, single family homes, condos, duplexes, townhomes, you know, we'll do quadplexes, whatever it may be. We'll do flips and then also development deals as well. But yeah, that's a bit about what we can do. And we service all the Texas markets, you know, Houston, Dallas-Fort Worth, San Antonio, Austin. And then we'll also do smaller markets in between as long as it makes sense.
Okay. Now you have experience with various markets across Texas. How are you viewing certain markets? Are you seeing some being a little bit more volatile than others? I know that Houston is heavily dependent on workforce housing compared to Austin. And so do you see one market being a little bit more volatile than the other? And hopefully, you know, you giving your opinion is not going to impact anything or any investors listening on whether or not they should invest in certain markets. But do you see a certain market more volatile and compared to another market being a little bit more attractive?
Sure. You know, it's really hard to tell, right? I guess really any market, whether it's a good or bad market, it's hot or cold, you know, you have pros and cons for every market, right? So at least where I live in Austin, you know, it's pretty hot. It's one of the hottest, if not the hottest real estate market in America. We have a lot of people moving here every single day. And then a lot of that is trickling down I-35, you know, which connects Houston, San Antonio. So a lot of that little corridor between Austin and San Antonio is growing. And I guess an issue that people are having with Austin is that the prices are getting higher. Some people get pushed out. Maybe they're looking for more space. Maybe they're starting a family. They want to live in maybe a smaller environment, and maybe they'll go further south, maybe towards San Antonio. In terms of a market being volatile, I wouldn't exactly use the word volatile, but you know, I'll use Houston as an example. You know, a lot of workforce housing, which is great. I mean, if you own rentals, you know, it's a great rental market. Really much like any major Texas metro, there are a lot of great rental markets here. But at least with Houston, you know, a lot of the economy is contingent upon energy, oil and gas. So you can kind of see at times there's kind of a connection between the real estate market and the energy market as well.
So you're sort of open to all the markets because each single market is being impacted one way or another. On the development side of things, how has the development finance or the construction financing been in certain areas like Austin and Houston? Have you guys been conservative or liberal when it comes to financing new development?
I wouldn't just say it's only for development, but really any deal, you know, for the most part as a lender, you're going to take a conservative approach, right? You know, because your loan amount is contingent upon the appraisal coming back, right? So, you know, that appraisal amount is going to determine, you know, more or less what the loan amount will be. But in terms of pricing, at least for me as a lender, you know, our pricing is based on credit and experience. So as long as you're over 600 credit, you qualify, 700 plus credit, you know, would be ideal. And then experience, you know, if it's your first time building, you know, we'd like you to have a builder contract with an experienced builder who can show HUDs, basically verifying, hey, I've done this sort of work. Or, you know, if it's an experienced developer, just want to see a resume. So that would be all.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up. And it's a crucial sort of strategy to implement and to utilize when you're just starting off, which is sort of joint venturing with a builder. You know, you may be making less on the spread, or, you know, you might have to give up some equity to get the project off the ground, but it's what's going to satisfy the lender. And it's going to sort of guarantee the successful financing. When you have, I guess, you know, ambitious developers or investors that have a property and they say, hey, you know what, we could actually build on this piece of property. We could tear it down and build on it, convert one property and title it to be a row of townhouses, for example. Are you sort of working as an advisor as well? Like, are you kind of telling them, hey, listen, you know, you can kind of partner up with somebody in order to get this across the finish line? Are you expecting them to kind of have that already done?
Sure. I mean, I really think, you know, with anything, it's just about kind of setting the expectations, right? So, you know, as mentioned, if they have building experience and they can show proof through HUDs or previous deals and their credit's pretty good, you know, they could guarantee the loan themselves. Whereas, you know, maybe if it's their first time or if they have lower credit, you know, we probably ask they have a builder contract. But either way, there's kind of different ways to skin a cat and make it happen. Mm-hmm.
In regards to the development happening in Texas, where are you seeing the most activity happening right now?
Really all over, right? So all the major Texas metros, you know, Houston is having a lot of growth. Dallas-Fort Worth is having a lot of growth. Definitely Austin for certain, San Antonio. I guess I could probably just start with Austin, right? So Austin, I guess I wasn't even born yet. And I have a few memories of what Austin was maybe in the early 2000s, but, you know, Austin was a little sleepy college town, right? So it was, you know, it's a state capital. It used to be a little sleepy college town. And over time, to where we are now in 2021, it's really exploded into, you know, kind of a new tech hub, especially because Tesla's here. Tesla's in the Southeast. So I'm kind of seeing that there's going to be a lot of growth towards Tesla in the Southeast as well. Northeast Austin as well, kind of near Manor, which is a smaller city in kind of the Northeast little pocket. And there's a lot of other little pockets around Austin as well. You kind of have the West, which is, I guess, what you would call Westlake, right? You have a lot of the water is, you know, in the western part. And then the South is more flat, kind of rural areas like Buda, Kyle. You know, really, Austin is growing in every single direction. It's just moving out.
Now, regarding Tesla, I'm glad that you brought that up. How is that impacting financing? Are you seeing Tesla and getting, you know, people are getting excited? They're, you know, they're seeing the demand, and is that sort of providing a little bit more comfort underwriting the deals?
Yes and no. So yes, in the sense that, you know, Tesla coming is basically showing, hey, you know, we have a lot of this open land that needs to be developed to accommodate all of these people who just seem to be here, right? So clearly the demand is there, and really all over Texas, at least for the next 20 years, we're projected to have, you know, pretty consistent growth with the amount of people they're projecting to continue coming here to live. But to answer your question, in terms of Tesla, you know, making us more lenient, it wouldn't change our underwriting processes or the way we would operate. But, you know, it's definitely a true testament to people believing in the city and the amount of growth it's expected here.
Now, what kind of construction are you typically seeing, or are investors typically applying for? Like, what kind of asset class? Is it single family? Is it townhouses? I know you mentioned a few of them, but what are you seeing more? Are you seeing more of one than the other?
Sure. So, you know, in terms of, I guess, you know, my bread and butter would be, you know, a 3-bed, 2-bath, maybe 1400 square feet. That would be a pretty simple single family, you know, new construction build, you know, mostly here in Central Texas. You know, there's a lot of pretty hot areas. I mean, there's Canyon Lake, there's Horseshoe Bay, there's, you know, different parts of Houston, Lake Houston, Humboldt as well. I mean, really all over the state. But yeah, I mean, those are probably the single family homes. People are also building duplexes as well. And then I guess in terms of larger developments, I financed a deal that will be 48 units. It'll be a luxury waterfront condo. Okay, so nice. That'll be nice. So it's kind of, you know, two ends of the spectrum, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, this is sort of a question that's constantly lingering in my head, but it had a massive impact. And I see the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of never having to ask it again or having to ask it down the road. But how did COVID have an impact in your industry as well as the markets that you service?
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. That's a terrific question. If we were having this conversation 12 months ago, things were a whole lot different, right? At least for us, it kind of seemed like around, you know, maybe St. Patrick's Day-ish, right? Maybe March 17th, middle of March of 2020. That was kind of when things shifted. You know, people were afraid. People didn't know what to make of what would happen in the market, not only from a health perspective, but also how this would impact the real estate market, right? So things changed on Wall Street. You're dealing with maybe money coming from different parts of the country, or maybe people are, you know, moving here to Texas, and then that just kind of is at a standstill for a few months, seemingly, right? I mean, people still moved here, but it kind of seemed like there was a bit of uncertainty for the market. But in terms of, I guess, the construction lending market kind of picking up more steam, it kind of seemed like we started picking up more steam probably around June or July.
Okay. And have you seen any tapering off happening?
I mean, probably the only tapering off that I kind of noticed would maybe be March, April, May. Mm-hmm. That was kind of when there was a lot of uncertainty. I mean, there still sort of is, but I would say March, April, May were probably the most uncertain times. And then, you know, as we kind of approached the fall, maybe winter time, things got a bit more stable. And then I guess fast forward now, and it kind of seems like we're really picking up more steam here in the Texas market.
Right. Okay. Now, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but I am going to ask you, where do you see Austin heading towards?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wish I had a clear answer on that, Gary, you know, and it's funny because I guess at least for me, you know, in 2008, I was playing football, right? I was I was in high school. I wasn't concerned about the world economy. So I really can't lean back on 2008. And even if I did experience 2008, you know, it's an entirely different animal.
100%.
You know, it's like comparing apples to oranges here. But in terms of, you know, the growth that Texas will experience, I foresee, you know, a lot of people to continue moving here. A lot of industry is coming here. We have Google, we have Tesla, we have all sorts of companies, and, you know, just young, hungry people that are looking to make an impact. A lot of families are moving here as well. So you have just a big mix of people. And I think it's going to be great for the city of Austin.
Yeah, without a doubt, I'm sort of kind of entertaining coming to visit Austin because everybody's sort of moving to Austin. Everybody's moving to Texas. I know you guys had a huge exodus due to everybody moving and migrating from Los Angeles or California in general. And depending on who you talk to, whether it's, you know, whether you watch Joe Rogan or whether you watch anybody else that was sort of had their entire business, not just company, but had their entire life in California, you get mixed messages but for the majority, it's sort of like, I love it here. You know, like this isn't all that bad. You know, I can kind of get used to this and it's nice to hear. It's definitely nice to hear. And so it's kind of making me want to, you know, get in the Texas bug, you know, just like everybody else, because with Canadians, we have a cottage for the winters as well as the summers, where we spend our long weekends there, or we're snowbirds. We'll have a place in Florida, but Texas is sounding a lot more attractive, and there's definitely competition between the two. So, okay, it's definitely keeping you busy all around. So moving forward, I mean, you've gotten here, and this is sort of like, if I had asked you 5 years ago, where would you see yourself? You'd probably say you see yourself right where you are today, and good on you. You know, you kind of had a goal in mind and you went for it. And, you know, even took a little hiatus, might I add, in Southeast Asia. But then I guess 5 years from now, where are you seeing it? I don't want to get you in trouble at your current place, but it's like, is it, you know, Trevino Financing? Is it sort of like your own firm, or are you going to continue with the construction financing and kind of get into development? So where are you seeing that going?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess like anything, I don't like to, you know, count my chickens before they hatch, or, you know, whatever they say, right? But, you know, I definitely do like real estate. I definitely do like the construction aspect of it. So in 5 years, I definitely do see myself working in this space in some sort of capacity in the kind of the construction real estate world. But, you know, I really just kind of just enjoy learning and, you know, doing podcasts like this and connecting with great people like yourself. And you kind of take you know, little tidbits and kind of try to formulate your opinions. So, you know, the sky's the limit in 5 years.
No, absolutely. That's sort of one of the best answers that I've heard, because I get asked that all the time. It's like, hey, what are your plans? You know, what's your next plan? Because eventually once you sort of, with real estate development, it's kind of the same thing, right? You're doing the same thing. You're developing, you might entitle it, and it's exciting because you're taking nothing and turning it into something. And that's really the exciting part, right? And I kind of got that passion from a very young age, because I used to go to work with my dad, and when he had first started his business, it was primarily kitchens. And so we did a lot of kitchens and cabinetry, but I remember there was a point where, you know, we were putting these kitchens together in the garage, and it's literally like just sheets of wood, sheets of plywood, you know, screwing them together. But at the end, it becomes the centerpiece of the home. And everybody knows when you walk inside a house, you know, there better be a nice kitchen. It doesn't matter really what your tiles are or what the hardwood is. If that kitchen isn't, you know, top notch, and if your partner isn't really happy with it, don't have the kitchen of their dreams, it's sort of the first thing that's going to come down, and it's going to be during the renovations, and it's the first thing that's going to kind of get upgraded. But that's the thing with development. Once you sort of build something, it's like, okay, what's next? And you continue to scale up, and you continue to scale up. And so people kind of ask me, it's like, hey, what's the next thing? It's like, another development. I just like this. You know? This is what I enjoy. This is what my passion is. So it's a really hard question to answer, but you nailed it.
Yeah, no, and it's super interesting as well, because, you know, those, the producers, right, the developers, the people that are creating, you know, not only physical assets, but also digital assets, you know, those people are going to be rewarded in this new digital age that we're stepping into. So we're seeing all these changes I guess, you know, with COVID, we're seeing changes in the work from home scenario. We're seeing changes with American living, Canadian living, you know, people wanting maybe to reevaluate the way they live in the city, you know, maybe moving out to the country, right? So we're having all these sort of changes, and it's pretty neat to experience it and be right in.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny you say that, because for the longest time, I was a diehard Toronto fan. You know, I just love Toronto, everything Toronto. And that's really all I knew. And it wasn't, you know, no particular reason. I just really loved the city. I visited other cities around the world, and people would ask me, it's like, what's your favorite city? It's like, oh, I love Toronto. But that was when I was younger, you know. I didn't mind commuting on foot. I didn't mind commuting, taking public transit or the bus, or even riding my bike from place to place. But then sort of as I got older, I started to appreciate the lack of traffic that I have to sit in. And it's like, oh, okay, this is nice. This is nice. I don't have to sit in my car for 3-4 hours a day, you know, going both ways. And so when I first moved out to Kitchener, people were asking me, hey, Gary, how is it? And I would tell them, you know what? It's nice. It's really nice. And they'd say, I hear it's boring. It's like, yeah, but I would call it relaxing. You know, what you consider boring, I call it relaxing, just because, you know, the drives aren't stressful. And so COVID, what it's done, it's sort of shifted what's valuable for people, shifted their mindset, and shifted what they deemed valuable. It's like, you know, I deemed the busy city valuable because it had all these different foods. But with COVID, it's like, you know what, now I don't have to be a part of the hustle and bustle. Now I can wake up and just go to work, just go maybe into the next room, which is my office, and open my laptop, and don't really have to get dressed. You know, if you're lucky enough where you don't have to have Zoom conferences all day, you don't really have to get dressed and do much. But you've also gained a lot of your time back. And the impact that that's having on development is, you know, as you already know, people have to accommodate for people working from home, where, you know, instead of having a walk-in closet that's, you know, that's X square feet, maybe a little portion of this might be the walk-in closet, but the other portion of it might be the office, the home office that people have to work out of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, you know, even to take it a step further, you know, kind of getting out of, I mean, I say this because I live in the city, right? But a lot of people, you know, young and older are electing to move out of the city life. So it's kind of like, you know, if you have X amount of money that, you know, could get you a decent place in the city, but a really nice place in a rural area, you know, some people find it better, maybe buy a few acres, you could, you know, build a home, you could have high speed Wi-Fi. You know, maybe instead of fighting traffic to get to the gym and fighting with other people to take turns for machines, you can have your own home gym in your garage, right? And work from home. And that's the new reality.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, maybe yours is in your garage because you guys have nice weather all the time. I would probably freeze five minutes into my workout. But no, it's true, man. I canceled my membership about 2 weeks ago. You know, and I was like, I haven't needed it throughout COVID, and I've still, you know, I have a home gym. I'm fortunate enough to have a home gym, but yeah, no, it's definitely shifted people's needs when it comes to real estate. And yeah, I definitely know that the developers are going to do it right and execute correctly for people's accommodation to work from home, live at home, spend maybe 95% of the time from home, are the ones that are definitely going to make it, and they're going to see more success than the latter.
Definitely, Gary.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, it's been a pleasure having you on, my friend. Always nice talking with you. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Aaron Trevino. You can find me on Instagram. So it's Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, P Trevino, T-R-E-V-I-N-O. You can find me on Facebook, Aaron Trevino. Find me on LinkedIn. I also have a YouTube channel. So we're about to hit 100 podcast guests this Friday. I'm
pretty excited. Congratulations. That's amazing. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate the kind words. But yeah, you know, I mean, if you're looking for, you know, some great content, just like Gary puts out as well, definitely check out our YouTube channel. And I'd be happy to help out where I can.
Awesome. We'll definitely include that in our show notes. Again, Aaron, It was an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks a lot, Gary.